This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, What Lab Animals Teach Us. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Chimpanzees were phased out as lab animals in the U.S. starting about 5 years ago, and they were supposed to head off to retirement. But where? Many of these former lab chimps have nowhere to go. They are stuck in limbo. Eilish O'Neill brings us this story of a few chimps who've been lucky enough to find a good retirement home.
The Cleelum Chimp Sanctuary is just off a lightly traveled desert highway in central Washington state. The first thing I have to do is sign the paperwork saying that if I die, I won't sue the sanctuary. I'm not too worried. Diana Goodrich takes me into a small observation room. On the other side of the bars, seven chimps are playing. One of the chimps, Jamie, comes over to us right away and starts staring intently at my feet.
She wants to see your shoes. Oh, I'm going to track mine. Shoes.
Apparently, it's a thing. Jamie likes shoes. I pull up my pant leg so she can see my gray and black boots, and she nods her head vigorously.
Good thing I wore boots.
Yeah.
Today.
Diana and her partner JB Mulcahy live right here, just a few feet from the chimpanzees. They co-direct the sanctuary, and it's their life. JB tells me trying to figure out what the chimps want is what they do. Sometimes it's serving a smoothie through a giant straw. Other times it's showing off your boots. I'm wearing my boots, but I guess I'm not so in, because a couple of minutes after I arrive, JB pushes me fast out the door. Jamie just threw some poop at us. JB says that's her way of hazing newcomers.
I think I blocked it with one little piece and it would be better.
JB hands me some paper towels so I can clean off my bag. This control the chimps have over their caretakers and environment is really different from their former life. JB and Diana say before coming to the sanctuary in 2008, the animals lived in a windowless basement in a biomedical research facility in Pennsylvania.
It is still legal to keep a chimpanzee in a 5-foot by 5-foot by 7-foot cage. Many of the chimps that live here, as far as we know, may have never seen the sun or stepped foot on grass in their entire lives.
The sanctuary doesn't have detailed records on their chimps' past lives, but JB says when the animals first arrived, they seemed hesitant to venture out and explore the hill behind the building.
Jamie would be out there and she'd be trying to get her friend Foxy to join her. And so Foxy would, she would take about 5 or 10 steps out the door and then she would just sort of stall. And then she would turn around and then she would try again and she couldn't quite do it. And then Jamie would actually come back and throw her arm around Foxy's waist and walk with her side by side. And that's what really got Foxy to work up the courage to go further.
In the 1980s, scientists hoped chimps would help them find an HIV vaccine. Researchers bred more than 1,000 of them. But it turns out, chimps don't develop AIDS the way humans do, so attempts to use them to find a vaccine didn't pan out.
They'll typically highlight that failure, you know, as a reason not to use chimpanzees in research.
Thomas Roll is a veterinarian by training, and he used to be responsible for all the chimpanzees at the University of Louisiana's Primate Research Center. He says research done with chimpanzees was invaluable.
There was a lot of information that was harvested, that was published, that people utilized as they've moved forward in both initiating therapies for HIV and ultimately for trying to produce a vaccine for HIV.
Researchers in the U.S. kept using chimpanzees long after most other countries had stopped. They made the most headway with hepatitis. Here's Thomas Roll again. He refers to chimpanzees as the model, as in animal model for humans.
During the 70s, Merck Pharmaceutical Company was developing a vaccine for hepatitis B, and that model was absolutely pivotal for that vaccine being developed, and it's still in use today.
The vaccine is, but chimpanzees aren't. Over the past couple of years, the National Institutes of Health has stopped providing federal dollars for chimp biomedical research because other options are available and because of ethical concerns. Meanwhile, the Department of Fish and Wildlife uplisted captive chimpanzees to endangered. So now, pretty much every research chimp in the country is eligible for retirement, and chimp sanctuaries are building more space as fast as they can. Thomas Rowell says he thinks the decision to stop using chimps in research is based on misconceptions about how animals are treated in research facilities. He says conditions have improved markedly over the past few decades. Thomas says he cares about animal welfare as well as human health.
When I was in just before high school, this is when Jane Goodall was working with National Geographic. And it came on with that music, you know, that's what stimulated me to get into research and work specifically with primates.
Back at the sanctuary, a 35-year-old male named Burrito is banging on an empty steel drum.
So that's Burrito displaying a little bit, pushing that barrel around.
Director Diana Goodrich says Burrito's telling the other chimps and the humans he owns this room. It's a big room to own. There are 15-foot ceilings and a loft so the chimps can climb and build nests and take naps up high. In the wild, chimpanzees spend much of their time in trees.
These seven chimps that live here have been through a lot. I mean, they've experienced invasive medical testing. Their lives have been upended repeatedly. Every time they get familiar with one environment, they're taken out of it and put in another.
Sanctuary director J.B. Mulcahy says the females were bred over and over again. In the wild, a female chimp gives birth about once every 5 years. J.B. says it's pretty typical for chimpanzees in captivity to be bred every single year to give birth to the next generation of lab chimps.
Probably the most traumatic thing that any of them experience in their lives is either being taken from their mothers or having their children taken from them.
JB says in the sanctuary, the animals can start to heal.
Really, one of the main things is giving them some autonomy again. As much as we can do for them, it's there for them. And they can take advantage of it at their own pace.
The sanctuary costs about $500,000 a year to run. And JB and Diana are adding space to bring in 15 more chimps.
It's our responsibility to sort of create a better environment for them here. Some of these chimps are going to have 40 or 50 years left, and we can make those good years.
This story from Central Washington State was reported by Eilish O'Neill.